Today's scripture reading is from 2 Kings 18:31 through 37. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat fruit from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own cistern until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life, not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, "The Lord will deliver us." Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharim, Hena, and Iva? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people remained silent and said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, "Do not answer him." Then Elkiam, Hakeem, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Aspha, the recorder, went to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him what the field commander had said. The word of God for the people of God.
That one was the passage that nobody wants to get. I was actually just talking about it. It makes you feel any better in Sunday school class. And somebody's like, "Well, did you warn her?" And I'm like, "Nah." She'll do great. She'll roll with it. I don't know how to pronounce any of them, so good work. Okay, so shortly after Jesus' death, probably 20 years later, there was a man born into slavery in modern-day area that we call Turkey today. It's kind of that area. Eventually, he was released from his slavery. He had been born a slave, many years a slave. During that time and later, he was educated in the ways of philosophy, traveled, ended up going to Rome, then ended up going to Greece. His name was Epictetus. Epictetus, staff. We had a staff devotional not too long ago, and we actually talked about the ten sayings of Epictetus. But speaking of staff, I don't know if anybody noticed, I feel like even Moses looked remarkably like possibly some staff members that I have, right, that did a good job. So I shared with them some quotes from Epictetus. He became very well known for practicing a very practical, life-applicable form of philosophy known as Stoic philosophy. He was a Stoic, right? So I want to share with you one of his quotes today I think is very helpful in starting our teaching time today. I think this is going to help get us going down the right path. And Epictetus's simple, helpful quote for us today is this. It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. I'll let you kind of ponder that for just a second. So friends, bad news is inevitable in our lives. Unfortunately, it's inevitable. In a lot of ways, that's out of our control. Sometimes it is, like sometimes there are things that we've done that have created the bad news. A lot of time it isn't, it's just a part of life. It's just something that happens. What you do have control over is what you choose to do with the bad news that you've received. Or in Epictetus' words, how you react. How you react to bad news. I've reacted poorly many times in my life to bad news that I have received. I know I've made a lot of poor choices with it. I've punched holes in walls when I got bad news. I've drank too much when I've gotten bad news. I've destroyed things when I've got. I used to have a bit of a temper, and I've really worked through a good portion of that, right? As you can kind of hear, maybe. I've said hurtful things to people when I got bad news. Said really hurtful things. So I've reacted very poorly at times to bad news that I have received. And I'm guessing there are those of you in this room who have done the same, right? I'm getting to know you all more and more, and I'm guessing that some of you could probably tell some stories if I said, hey, tell me today how you have maybe made some really poor decisions when you've received bad news. And I've gotten to know you all well enough to know that we probably don't want everybody to share that story today, right? So I'm not gonna ask, but you know sometimes in your life when you've done just that. So the good news is that God keeps giving us new opportunities to do better things with bad news in life. We keep getting these opportunities, right? Because here you are. So you're still here. So good news is this: new opportunities are awaiting you. New opportunities are awaiting you. So in our teaching passage today, King Hezekiah and the Israelites have received some very bad news, very dire news. A large army of people known as the Assyrians are doing what large armies tended to do in continents of Asia and Europe. This is just kind of what they did all the time. On those continents, great armies would amass, and they would go on just a large land grab march, right, is what they would do. They would just destroy any tribe, any town, any city, any civilization in its path and take it for themselves, right? So Assyria had become very successful at war and destruction. They'd become very good at it. In our passage, their destructive path would finally bring them to Jerusalem, the city, the capital city of Jerusalem in Israel. The commander of the Assyrian army came to the gate of Jerusalem, and he came to address Hezekiah and the Israelites. Only King Hezekiah doesn't show up for the conversation, which was actually a smart move on his part not to be there, right? And so instead, Hezekiah sent representatives to speak for him on his behalf and to hear what it is that the Assyrian commander wanted to say to him. Now, the Assyrian commander didn't care for this much, right? I kind of think he was hoping to talk to the king. So instead of talking to the king's representatives, he talks over the king's representatives to the Israelite people who have gathered there at the wall around Jerusalem to see what this spectacle is known as the Assyrian commander and whatever army was with him. And so the speech that the commander gives to the people, speaking over the representatives, is what we today would call gaslighting. He's trying to gaslight them. Gaslighting is when you try and convince someone that their thinking, their understanding is crazy or just off, right? Like, you really don't know what you're talking about, and it kind of causes you to think, well, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, right? That's gaslighting. So the commander wants to convince them to just surrender without a fight. Just go down without a fight. Why try to fight? Look at all the other armies and civilizations that Assyria has destroyed. Look what we've done. Like, why try to fight us? Look at all the other armies that Assyria has destroyed that has brought us to your gate into this place. Why bother today with such senseless death? Why do that? Just accept our terms of defeat right now, and things are going to go so much better for you. Such better outcomes if you just do this. And he goes to, like, below the belt. Here comes, he says, after all those nations that we destroyed, they had gods too. They had gods they prayed to as well. And none of those gods helped them. In the end, none of them helped them. So why would you ever think your God could help you? Why would you think that? So the commander gaslights. And then the commander turns around and marches off, having given this ultimatum, right? Like, if you surrender, these things will be good. These things will happen to you. If you do not, you're all going to die. And so he does that. He strikes fear into their hearts. He causes them to question any decision their king might make other than the one solution they want to hear, which is give up. So this was very bad news for King Hezekiah, but the king must make a decision because the Assyrian army will come back. and they will come back in full force. You too will likely have someone come to you someday, and they will give you very devastating bad news, right? And you might even get kind of gaslighted as well. Like, it might be something where they're going to tell you all the reasons why you should do what it is they say you need to do. They're going to try to make the decision for you. And when this happens to you, this bad news, I want you to think about doing five things. Five things that might be the difference between making a bad decision with bad news versus making a good decision with bad news. Five reactions you can make, unlike the reactions I listed earlier, you know, the things that I had done that probably weren't in the best interest of me or you, whatever the things of you thought of, ways that you've responded poorly to things in your past, right? So here's the first reaction you can have to bad news. And for some of you, this is going to be counterintuitive. For others, it's going to be intuitive. You're like, yeah, I know this, Jim. And that is, let yourself feel the emotion that comes with bad news. Feel the emotion. A brain scientist, her name was Jill Bolt Taylor, she said, most of us think ourselves as thinking creatures that feel, but we are actually feeling creatures that think. And I've heard Jill's quote used many times by many different authors. It's become a very famous quote. Now, I by no means am the poster boy for doing a great job acknowledging my feelings and my emotions and outwardly letting those things come out. I've actually needed a counselor before to kind of help me even acknowledge what my feelings are and enter into them, right? And most of that in my life has been this fear that I've had of getting stuck in negative emotion. I'm afraid if I begin to let it out, like, when will it stop? But what I've actually learned is that the opposite is true. The opposite is true. If you and I would just let emotion come when something happens in that moment, then you and I, we wouldn't have to deal with the consequences of repressing that emotion years and years later. Which is what, you know, I like that stoic, right? You know, from some of us that are more stoics, that's kind of what we tend to do, is just push it way down, it'll be fine, right? So my first bit of advice on reacting to bad news in good ways is to pay attention to what you are feeling, right? And then find like healthy, proportionate ways to emotionally respond to the bad news that you're feeling. Punching a hole in the wall may not be the, you know, healthiest, proportionate way to get that anger out, as I've learned from my past. Yelling at the top of your lungs into a pillow might be better, right? Just screaming that anger out, especially if you live in an apartment. We don't want your neighbors to call the police. If you have family members at home, we don't want them to be alarmed. So the pillow has got a nice, subtle muffling effect, right? I've found. So do that. Like, emotion comes, pay attention to that emotion, find ways to kind of let that out in the moment. The second thing you can do after you've done that is to, I think, pray about it. Pray about it. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight." Right? So give the bad news to God. Ask God to help guide you in what you should do next. Do your gut check after prayer. Do you do that? Do you have a habit of that? Pray, gut check. What do you sense? How do you sense God moving, directing you? What do you think? What are you thinking? What are you feeling in that moment? Maybe God gives you a quick response. A surprising, wow, this prayer stuff works, right? I prayed and it came. But maybe now you don't like what God has said. I don't know, God. Let's try again. What's your next bit of advice? Right? So sometimes we've got to pray about God's response. We prayed. God answered. Now I've got to say, God, I don't like your answer. So I need you to help me be accepting of your answer. Like, help work with me on this. If this is the way you're directing me. Which is really when it's a good idea to do the third thing, right? You've prayed about it. And that is, now maybe it's time to talk to a good friend about the bad news. Phone call or coffee or whatever it is. You know, there's a healthy process that occurs when we share the story about the bad news. Now we're going to say it. What happened from your own mouth. And listen to how you say it. We verbalize it. We feel it again, right? The emotion's there again. And then we can even talk about like our prayer. And this is I prayed. And this is how I feel. I think God's directing me. And a good friend listens and offers advice. A great friend listens and doesn't offer advice. Right? Unless, of course, you beg them for it. Unless you're like, no, I really need advice on this one. I really need some help. So in our lesson, King Hezekiah, he was very close to the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah's got his own, like, 58-chapter book about him. And friends, if you have a prophetic type friend, some of us do, we've got these prophetic type of friends, just know they don't always tend to be the best listeners, the prophetic type, right? This was the case for Isaiah. He didn't just go, tell me about your feelings. Tell me about that. Right? That's not what he did. Isaiah happened to give the king advice, turned out to be very good advice, the advice that he gave. And that's what he was in the business of. So sometimes our lives are knocked off kilter because of the severity of the bad news we have received. And this is called shock, right? There are times in our lives where we receive news that's so bad that we're shocked, and that's kind of when the fight, flight, or freeze kicks in. Like fight, flight, freeze. And so in those moments, it's good to have a good friend that you have judged to be of good character and great faith and good communication, right? And the type of friend who is hopefully invested in your life and the outcomes of your life, like the things that are going to happen to you. And so sometimes those friends are there just to listen. At other times, they're there to offer some advice that you need because you maybe in that moment are unable to make a decision because of the shock you're experiencing, because of the severity of the bad news. Which is actually the most important thing you should do next, if at all possible. Not all bad news needs a response or reaction. Not all bad news does. Sometimes we get bad news and we just go on with our lives, right? That's like watching the news. We watch the news. It's not good. We just go on. But a lot of times, there's bad news that deserves, that requires a response from you, a reaction from you. So, if you've kind of allowed yourself to feel the weight of the news, right, that kind of emotional thing, if you've prayed about it, if you've consulted with a good friend about it, then the next thing you should do is make the decision that best honors who you are. That honors who you are. After all, it's your life we're talking about. This is your life. It's not your friend's life. It's not somebody else's life. It's your life. Has anyone ever here ever taken a friend's advice only to go back to them and blame them for what happened next in your life when you did that? Yeah? That's because you didn't respond in a way that honored who you were. You responded in a way that honored who they were with their advice. Now, if your friend's advice resonates with you, like if it's like, yeah, that's what I'm feeling, then here's the deal. Don't blame them for the outcome because it seemed right to you. Now, I unfortunately remember doing exactly this in college. I remember doing this in college. I had a friend offer me some advice when I received some bad news. Went to her, what do you think? I took the advice because it was really what I wanted to hear. I didn't work a process like this. Probably didn't pray about it. Probably didn't talk to other people about it. She had a solution. It was the easy solution. I took it. So surprise, surprise, the results of my decision were not good good outcomes did not follow. So I went to her and I told her that her advice was bad and the outcomes that occurred in my life were her fault. Now, hopefully everyone in this room is too spiritually mature to do something like that, right? Hopefully that's not this crowd. I, at the time, was not. I was not. It is absolutely, fundamentally important that you react to bad news in ways that honor who you are and what you believe and what you want to be about. And hopefully, you're a person of great faith. Hopefully, you're a prayer person. You just naturally want to pray about these things. You keep friendships with wise spiritual people that you can hopefully talk to. But at the end of the day, it's absolutely necessary for you to make a decision, for myself to make a decision that honors who you are, so you can respond in this last way that I'm going to... Here's the fifth thing, last thing. After you react, after you respond in a way that honors who you are to bad news, then you find, and I find, humility and courage to live with the outcomes. Both humility and courage to live with the outcomes. Because sometimes you're going to have to be courageous with what comes next. What you said to someone was hard, you received the bad news, but now you have to find courage to live into how you responded to that person that maybe shared the bad news with you. So for example, someone in your life might say to you, if you don't stop this constant drinking that you're doing, this all-the-time drinking that you're doing, then I'm going to leave you, right? And it might be a friend that just has decided, I can't do this anymore. It might be your spouse. It might be somebody else who loves you, but they're drawing a line in the sand. Which, if it's you, that sounds like really bad news, doesn't it? The loss of that relationship, especially if, like, drinking all the time is how you deal with your pain. You got pain from your past, that's just how you maybe cope, is with all of this. But in that moment, what you said to that loved one was, okay, I'm going to stop, I'm going to get help, I'm going to do this, right? Now, you have to find the courage to go and get help and then to stick with it and to keep getting that help, right? Or maybe on the flip side, somebody gave you some bad news. They gave you bad news, and in your anger, you went off on them. You let them have it because you didn't like what they said. And you kind of needed to, right? Maybe you needed to let that out, but maybe your response wasn't totally proportionate to what they said. Your response was not a proportionate response in your anger to what they said. Later, you think to yourself, you realize your response was needed. That emotion was needed. Once again, right, we want to respond kind of honest to ourselves in that emotion. But perhaps the name-calling, perhaps the four-letter word that you said to them in your anger, perhaps those things weren't completely necessary. So now you kind of own that. And maybe there's an apology that needs to, you're kind of humbling yourself, right? Because even though you felt pretty good, you needed to stick up for yourself in that moment. Maybe you hadn't, and so you needed to, so you stuck up for yourself, which was great, but in doing so, you also did some harm in how disproportionate it was. So now we got to go eat a little humble pie, right? In life, with bad news and our kind of best attempts at our own honest self-responses, we will need both courage and we will need humility to live into the outcomes that follow within our lives. Because that's life. Like, there's always the bad news, there's the response, and then there's the outcome, which is life after your response. The bearer of bad news, not perfect. You, not perfect. So be courageous, be humble, move on, right? So King Hezekiah, he had to make a choice as well. He had to make a choice. Would he surrender? Would he fight? What would he do with this massive civilization-killing army at his doorstep? Well, in the next chapter, we don't read it, but he simply decides to trust God and not surrender. He's not going to do it. And so he calls upon his people. He says, we're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to give this to God. That's what we're going to do right now. And the prophet Isaiah, he gets that advice, right? He comes, he says, here's what I think God's saying. And what happens in the end of the next chapter is that God delivers him from his enemy without a fight and without having to surrender. God does it. So Hezekiah had received the worst news of all. That is, when you're a king, that's the thing that's going to lead to the demise of your kingdom. That's the news you never want to hear. But he responded in ways that helped him make the best choice in a really bad scenario. And so if only we could be so fortunate to have a similar experience as that, right? If only all of our decision-making led us to something similar, which perhaps we can if we remember when we receive bad news to feel it, to pray about it, to talk to a friend, to respond in a way that honors who you are, and then to find humility and courage to live with those outcomes. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for the kings. And Lord, I think what I love most about the Old Testament is that you just over and over see good people sometimes making really bad choices, which really is life. We are all good folks. We've all made really poor decisions with bad news before. It's hurt us. It's hurt those that we love. So, Lord, would you help us today as we go on from this place, when we receive the bad news, help us to remember to do a positive process that helps us respond well and be accountable for the ways that we respond in life, Lord. Help us with this very hard endeavor. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.